opinions expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I want to try to be a nice guy today. You know, it's First Friday. It's Real Friday here in... No, it isn't. I didn't even know I say that. I was going to say the first Friday in January, but that's not true. I was looking at my calendar book, so we have to go to... we're heading to Bangor, Maine. I would just say Bangor, but they say Bangor. Next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, and part of Thursday. And looking at the weather forecast... You know, that's one of the real hassles to go to places like Maine and North Dakota. I'm not complaining, but well, you don't know what's going on with the rain or with the weather. Here in Ohio, it's going to be 63 today with rain and 70 tomorrow with rain. As my dad, God rest his soul, would say, boys, if it doesn't get cold here soon, bugs are going to be horrible in the spring. So it looks like we're heading towards some horrible bugs in the spring if we don't get some cold weather here. Kind of a flea flicker Friday.
Last few days
on the show have been intense, man. They've been intense, and I'm willing to go intense again, but going to give a chance to throw some stuff on the table. Was that you, Larry? I heard a voice, man.
No, it's me. It's Mike. I think it's Mike. I just want to make sure we're on the same page since I get involved with your scheduling. I think it's in 2 weeks, isn't it? 2 weeks.
What is today? Oh, yeah, 2 weeks. Dang, stunned me. Oh, sorry, Bob. Roy. You can relax there, Bob. I'm not coming on the wrong time. Next week, Jared, pull up the schedule. Next week, we're going to go down with Alan Hoyle. That's what, and then I got a busy couple weeks ahead. And then we're going to go on the 20th down to Richmond, Virginia, in regard to the whole gun Amendment 2 issue. And then to Maine. I don't know what I was thinking of. Must got hit by a moose or something. Thanks for straightening me out there. There, Mike. I got some stuff I want to talk about today. Let me take a poll real quick. You want me to be nice or you want me to be truthful today? Do you maybe we could just turn this into Be Nice Friday and we would all be encouraged. I have the capability of doing that. Like I said, man, I can go whatever direction you want to. What's the vote? Truth or just feel good today? What do we want?
Truth.
Okay, that's all I needed because that's all I'm going to do anyway. I'm not into feel good stuff. Got the schedule up in front of you. January 15th, that's next Wednesday. That's the event for Alan Hoyle. I'm not going to take a lot of time and explain that. Several of us are going here from Central Ohio, and several others are OJ and some of those folks. OJ, I could be wrong. I don't know if you're calling that. I'm sorry to say something so stupid without washing my brain here with the water, the word. We're going to go downstairs with Alan Hoyle, who's got arrested for the most ridiculous thing, and we want to go stand with Alan. If you're interested in going, get a hold of me. Let me know. The 20th is when the big rally is down in Richmond, Virginia, regarding guns, Second Amendment. We have to make our stand someplace. We got guys who are organizing that event. If you're interested in going, let us know. We'll connect you with the people who are working on that. The 29th, I'm going to go to Maine. Those of you up in Maine, we've got several events that we're going to do up there with Bob Roy and Jack and the crew and David Arthur. We're going to do some ministry up there. March 5th. Now, look, it looks like there's nothing in February. Trust me, there are things in February. We don't have it totally on the calendar yet. Hear the Watchman Remnant Warrior Conference down in Dallas, the yearly annual Hear the Watchman Conference is March 5th through the 8th. And we'd love, for those of you down that area, we'd love for you guys to come and join with us. You know, we work a table. I speak there. We have a lot of things, and it's a great chance for us to be able to get together in fellowship. And I'm going to right now serve that thing to Chad. Maybe Chad can figure out a way where we can all get together while we're down there. On March 13th, we're going to be at Wisconsin Christian News Ministry Center, their expo and conference up in Marshfield. A lot of you we see up there. Love for you to come and be part of that. We have our own Occupy Till I Come. It's going to be a great event in Canton. In fact, you can start registering now. We have confirmed speakers, and we're going to mess with the schedule a little bit, but we're going to have Bill Federer in. We're going to have Dr. Michael Lake. He'll be a new one. We're going to have Usama Dakdok's going to be there. We've got L.A. Marzulli and Russ Dizdar, and it's going to be great. And again, one of the good things about that, it's great fellowship. Great, great fellowship. And one of the things that we're going to try to tie together, and I got to discipline myself and make me do it, is our we are moving to a $10 a month support here at Coach Dave Live. We would like people who are generally part of this event, part of our show, $10 a month. Please help us out, 10 bucks a month. And as a result of that 10 bucks a month, you get a discount then coming to the Occupy Till I Come event. Jared's trying to throw that stuff up there. I don't want to get into it today, but that will give you a good discount coming to all the stuff that we're doing. And just 10 bucks a month out, all of you sure would help a little bit on our end. Occupy, I just said that. All Hands on Deck is already scheduled. That's always Father's Day weekend. We have a Warrior Summit. Jamie Waldron is putting that on out in Missouri. Now, folks, look, this is a big deal. It's $450 to come. It's a training session. It'll include some equipment, some things. Jamie Waldron is running that. That's not a Coach Dave Live event, although I'm one of the speakers. I'm going to be there. Same people, Michael Lake, Tim Alberino, Bob Griswold. That's going to be good. All Hands on Deck, Buckeye Lake, June 19th, and a lot of other things that we have not put up on our calendar yet. So we want to hit the ground. We have hit the ground running here in 2020. That's hard. That's even hard to say. I got three things, at least, I want to really hit on today. I'm going to stop, though, and for the sake of opening line Friday, as Rush would say, give somebody a chance to vent or comment maybe on some heavy-duty stuff that we have really covered some great stuff last couple days. Anybody got anything they want to throw out there on the table? Heave it now, if you want to. Jared, while they're getting ready, Jared, pull up my my news with you, my commentary from yesterday. Pull that up, Jared. I want to make sure I read that today. No flea flickers. Hey, still no candy. No candy. Haven't had one bite of one piece of candy since New Year's. No, Christmas Eve. No, Christmas Day night. Not one piece of candy. Not one. I wrote yesterday. I'm going to tie two things together here this morning in this flea flicker. And you know, it comes back to really one of the things that we spoke about a couple of weeks ago is our Christian identity. Really, who are we and what are we? And what does it mean to be a Christian? And how would you recognize one if you actually came across one? And if you were going to train someone to be a Christian, what would that look like? Because I really think that that's part of the reason that we are so ineffective in the war that we're fighting today. Most of us just don't even know what we're supposed to do, who we're supposed to be. Is it about following rules? Is that what it is? Act like a Christian. And if you look at what's going on, especially in young Christian circles, to what depth are our children being trained in the things of Christianity? And what does that look like? And can you model Christianity in your home, fathers? Or is that simply something that we trust our youth group leaders to do? Is it something that we trust our men's ministry groups to do at our church? If you were to sit down, I'm going to open it up here, and I'm going to ask you this. If you were to sit down and train a Christian, Lord, Help me be nice, Lord. Jared, I'm going to throw you a curveball real quick, Jared. See if you can Google real quick, 7 promises of a promise keeper. Because you all remember the promise keeper movement. Well, it's alive and well. I'm coming back. I'm going to talk about that here this morning. It's 30 years ago. 30 years ago. Is that possible? Promise Keepers was launched 30 years ago. And even in their reigniting, their new vision here at Promise Keepers, I came across yesterday the seven promises. Jared, I think you can click on it, Jared. It says right there in red, the seven promises right at the top. No, right, experiences. I thought that was it. The seven promises of a promise. What's that, brother? Okay, here they are. Okay, now. These are seven. This was 30 years ago what Promise Keepers was built upon, trying to raise up godly men. Now, understand this, folks. Understand how far removed we are from the foundation of Promise Keepers 30 years ago. Our son's 37. My son was 7 years old when I got involved with Promise Keepers, and I really did at the beginning. So they're, listen, I'm watching game films. I'm not being critical, although when you point out things, it sounds critical. I pray. Promise Keepers took 2 million men. 2 million men. It was the largest gathering of Christian men in the history of America, probably. They took him to Washington, D.C. 2 million men. I think it was 1995, 1996, 1997, somewhere along in there. And as I said in an email I sent to somebody yesterday, for the most part, Promise Keepers left the men on their knees in Washington, D.C. It was the peak of Promise Keepers. And it, where's it been? Where have they been for the last 20 years? And a better question is, where is the culture? What is the fruit of Promise Keepers 30 years as they begin to resurrect this? I pray blessings upon Promise Keepers. Okay? But I have to show you some things here. So the promise number one, remember, I'm talking about you training your children. I'm talking about our churches. I'm talking about Christianity training the next generation of Christians. Hey, Christian men specifically, the next generation. So promise number one is a promise keeper is committed to honoring Jesus Christ through worship, prayer, and obedience to God's word in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I got to tell you something. That sounds really good, but that ain't nothing. Can somebody explain that? What does that? I'm going to pause a minute and let the cooler heads, a well-reasoned guy like Glenn, can you explain that to me? Can you explain, anybody out there, please explain to me promise number one. A promise keeper is committed to honoring Jesus Christ through worship, prayer, and obedience to God's word and the power of the Holy Spirit. Hello.
Well, Coach, it looks like it's just Lord White says. I don't think they've done that, obviously, but you know, it is what it says.
Hey, Glenn. Worship,
prayer, Bob, and what means the word.
How do you measure that? How do you measure that? That promise right there. And what does it mean? Obedience to God's word. What does that mean? In the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm on their side. Somebody explain to me what that means.
Well, the fruit of the Spirit would be part of it. Fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22, being a disciple, being a Christ follower.
Hey, Glenn. I'm sorry. Hey, Robert. They don't even know what that means to be a Christ follower. Men don't even know what that means. Follow him where? What does it look like to follow Christ? What does that look like? I'm all for honor. I'm all for that. Hey, guys, listen. These promises were the same promises they had 30 years ago. Did they work? Have they worked? Go to number two, Jared. Number two. A promise keeper is committed to pursuing vital relationship. It sounds pretty feel-goodish to me, friendship evangelism to me. By the way, I'm sure this was put together by a team of pastors. A promise keeper is committed to pursuing vital relationships with a few other men, understanding that he needs brothers to keep help him keep his promises. What promises? Number three. Hey, I'm on their side. I'm on promise keeper's side. A promise keeper is committed to practicing spiritual, moral, ethical, and sexual purity. Okay. Let me pause right now after the third one because I want to help you see what I'm seeing. So far, the first three are all about me or you or whoever that promise keeper is. Four, Jared. A promise keeper is committed to building strong marriages and families through love, protection, and biblical values. What would those biblical values be? Tolerance and diversity and love thy neighbor. See, it's nebulous. It's nebulous. Five. A promise keeper understands that Jesus calls him to be his hands and feet, serving others with integrity. He purposely lifts up the leadership of the church and his nation in prayer. Change-making, they call that. All right, next one, promise number six. I'm on their side. Unity! There we go. A promise keeper is committed to reaching beyond any racial and denominational barriers to demonstrate the power of biblical unity. I was a promise keeper. I sat next to Coach Bill McCartney at the first ever promise keeper. I sat beside him. And you know this, don't you? That promise keepers back in 1989, maybe 90, decided they would take no position on the social issues. Did you know that, folks? No position on abortion. No position on homosexuality. Number seven, because there's seven promises of a promise. Oh, obedience. A promise keeper is committed to influencing his world and being obedient to the great commandment and the great commission. So these all sound good. Can somebody tell me why they didn't work? And why do we think we can put old wine into old wineskins and they will work? Shouldn't promise keepers be able to show us 30 years of American Christian cultural transformation and say, boys, look, we did it 30 years ago. It changed America. We need to do it again. And here's how we did it. Does anybody think I'm being overly critical? Help me out here.
Dave. Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Roger.
Go ahead, Roger.
I was actively involved, as many of the men maybe here were, on the whole Promise Keepers. And I enjoyed it when it was going on. I went to many of the conferences and with other men. I really enjoyed it. But I think there was nothing to come home to. Mm-hmm. There was just nothing to come home to.
And Roger, wash dishes.
You would go to the rally.
Wash dishes. Love your wife. Love your children. Read the Bible. Make friends with men. That was it. That was it. That was the game plan. Yes or no?
Pretty much.
Support your church.
Pretty much. All of which are good things.
All good
but
things.
In my Coach, church, there was nothing to come home to.
There's nothing to come home to. Go ahead, Dale.
It lacked engaging the enemy in spiritual warfare.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Hey, Coach.
It was friendship evangelism 101. Yes, Gary.
Yes, and I had lunch with a friend of mine yesterday who was very strong in evangelism and missions and whatnot. And I've been trying to explain to him why Christians need to be engaging in the culture, and he did not get it, and so therefore I really didn't know how to even explain to him why we need to be doing like what we do here and what we're mm-hmm. trying to accomplish. So it's too. There's no measuring stick, and I don't even know what the answer to it would be.
Coach,
what the answer would be?
Another thing.
Go ahead, Robert.
Well, Coach, you know there's no discipleship. Like Roger said, you came home to nothing. There's no follow-up, no discipleship, no depth, just empty talk. That's all it was. It's just a passing fad, you know?
It was.
Well, we know this, was, Robert. Go ahead.
It was worse than that, Coach. I was there in Washington, D.C. I was almost on the front row with my oldest son, who was then, I don't know, 12, 13, 14. I don't know how old he was, but... So I spent the whole day praying, and I spent the whole 6 hours wondering why Gary Bauer was parading around outside of the prayer rally on the streets trying to get their attention to say, hey, we can, with this many men, we can stop abortion. Hey, with this many men, we can really make a difference on sodomy. And I came home to Maine having won a couple dramatic victories in politics by arguing from Christianity that homosexuality is a sort of an intrinsic evil. I had persuaded a majority of the public to agree with me a couple times by the time they had that big prayer rally. And when I came back, Focus on the Family injected a bunch of ex-gays into the movement up in Maine and basically pushed me off the stage because I was too political. And they put all these ex-gays into the churches and said, we just got to love them. And so guess what happened next? We lost.
They took over.
We lost everything. We lost everything.
In other words, so Mike, they installed gatekeepers, didn't they?
That's my experience with promise keepers. They don't even keep one of those seven promises.
No, they don't. They don't because they don't know how. See, again, I come back to the same thing. They cannot teach what they do not know. They went. So I listen. I know you guys trust me. I know. Well, those of you who know me know my heart. And I'm for the promotion of the kingdom of God. And I don't care who does it. I'm for it. But I'm also at the same time a somewhat of an analyst of what I see going on around and saying, wait a minute, this will not work. And it won't work because of this, this, this. As somebody put up on the screen, promise keepers really should be called gatekeepers. Gatekeepers. Because once the pastor, trust me, when Bill McCartney had the vision for it, he wanted to reach the heart of men. And then he got surrounded by the professional Christians who wanted to show him how to do it through the churches. Because we know this, don't we? Everything has to be done through the local church. And we know this, if you go back and study the history of promise keepers, local pastors, for the most part, did not get involved. They fought against promise keepers. They didn't want strong men. They didn't want strong men's groups. They didn't mind having men's groups if they went fishing and they went hunting and they went around and got in touch with their feelings. But they did not want strong, powerful men in their congregation coming together because it threatened the pastor's autonomy. Somebody prove me wrong. Gatekeepers is what they were, not promise keepers. They were gatekeepers. And the pastors slowly came on at the end and start. Where is it? Where is the promise keeper movement today? So I thought. Go ahead.
Coach, that's spot on. I've never been in a church that where I've seen men truly empowered to be warriors.
No, not because why? Because you can't teach what you haven't done, and the pastors aren't warriors. Yeah, Randy.
They had the new wine, but they tried to put it. They put it right back in the old wineskin. Yeah. They put it right back in the system that we had here that cannot produce the life of God. It is not able to do the job, Coach.
Yeah.
And it's the system we have.
It started out as a ministry outside the church, and then was co-opted by the church.
Yes,
they were gatekeepers. Yeah. That's a great word. The gatekeepers. It's not promise keepers. They're gatekeepers. And the purpose of gatekeepers became to serve the local church only. Only. It, folks, it started out as a ministry outside the church. And I know Coach Mack then handed it off to some trusted Christian friends of his who handed it off to some trusted pastor friends who handed it off to some. I just got to do this. Jared. Hey, Coach McCartney, if this comes across your desk, I love you, man. I want you to know I love you so much. I love you for your vision. And I'm not in any way, shape, or form making fun of you or your vision and what you did. God bless you, brother, for what you did. Somebody stole your work. Somebody stole your work. Somebody stole your vision. And so heaven forbid that Coach Mack would ever see this and think that I'm being critical of what he did, because I'm not at all. Jared, I want you to go to that Promise Keeper page if you could can for me. And because folks are having a new event. Jared, click on event. Promise Keepers is coming back with a vengeance, and they're putting old wine in old wineskins. That's what they're going to do. They're going to put old wine and building on the past to redefine the future. Now, that's something only a church marketer could come up with, right? Hey, folks, are we oblivious? Are these guys at Promise Keepers, are they oblivious to what's going on? Do they have any concept of what's happened to American Christianity?
No.
Do they? They have no concept of it. A movement reignited. And stay with me. Huh? 80,000 people, July 31st, August 1st, right down there in Arlington, Texas. Maybe I'll come, Glenn. Maybe I'll come and bring some abortion signs. What's it going to be? Well, it's going to be unforgettable worship. Oh, I'll be there. Anointed preaching. Tools to help you gain victory in all areas of your life. Inspiration to live your destiny as a man of God. And the opportunity to be part of a movement of men who will change our nation for Christ. It's old wine, boys. Old wine, old wineskin. 30 years ago, they had the opportunity to do it, and they did not follow through on the mandate. With me? So I thought, okay, good.
You know, Coach,
who are the anointed speakers here? I wonder. Go ahead, Jeff.
Don't understand faith, justification, and sanctification. They don't explain the meat to have people grow. To me, it's an image of feel good.
Jeff, they don't even know what it means to be a Christian man. That's my point. That's my point. They don't even know what it means. So I said, well, gee, hey, who are the speakers? Who are the speakers here, man? Tony Evans. God bless Tony Evans. He just lost his wife. I don't know if you saw that. I love Tony Evans. Can I tell you something? He was the main speaker 30 years ago. I heard Tony Evans 30 years ago in Boulder, Colorado, and Indianapolis, Indiana, and Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and Cincinnati, Ohio. I heard him 30 years ago. God bless Tony Evans. God bless you. Greg Steyer, Todd Wagner, Dr. Derwin Gray, pastor of founder Dare to Share Ministries, pastor Watermark Church, pastor Transformation Church, former NFL player, by the way. Tommy Nelson, he's a pastor at Denton Bible Church. Dr. Vodi Bakum, Dean of Theology, African Christian University. President Vodi Bakum Ministry. I like Vodi Bakum, by the way. Chad Henning, Super Bowl champion, U.S. Air Force fighter, pilot, author, wingman, men's ministry. I'm thinking, okay. So I thought, well, Lord, I'm going to go a little bit deeper here, Lord. Jared, you may have to. Hey, folks, I guess I'm being critical. You got to see something. Hey, Jared, click on it says Mega Church Team.
Okay, Coach, if it didn't work 30 years ago, why do they think it's going to work now?
Well, so hang on. So here's one of, it doesn't matter. You can go search it out for yourself. This is one of the speakers' church. And by the way, sorry, four campuses. He has four campuses. I suppose that's his team. I don't know. A lot of women in there, by the way. A lot of women in that Promise Keeper church. So scroll on down, Jared. Well, I'm making people mad today. I don't care. Can we stop here, man? I wish I was making this up. Are you guys sitting down? What time is it? How much time do we have here? At 7:30. How much time do we have? Let me introduce you to the team. Jared, just start scrolling down. Let's count them. Go ahead. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Whoa. There he is. Campus shepherd. Brooke is newly married assistant. Jacob is junior high men's coordinator. Alexandra is campus pastor and community assistant. Curtis is director of mentoring and school engagement. Connor is Fort Worth technical director. Angela is starting blocks director. Mandy is starting blocks co-director. And Leonard is married community director. Shane is worship director. Rob is community director. All young guys, by the way. Connor's Frisco campus pastor. Steven's a filmmaker. Mark is director of data systems. Brett is director of finance. Get a few more women in there. Jenny is starting blocks co-director. Hannah is membership assimilation assistant. Patrick is director of connecting and equipping. Emily is K1 race coordinator. Well, let's go on down. Jason is children's director. Daniel is rock specialist. Tyler is Fort Worth campus pastor. Noah is men's director of regeneration and married community. And Braun is director of single adults and institute discipleship. Stephanie is women's connecting coordinator. Hayden's worship director. Brenda's a Fort Worth marriage and pastoral care assistant. Brian is an elder. Karen is an international trips coordinator. Jennifer is finance coordinator. Gordon is software developer. Do you get, folks?
Yeah. this is unbelievable. They're staff.
Look at the page. First of all, look, how many of them do you think are over the age of 40? Have any real life experiences? Look at them. Look at how many of them are women. This is one of the feature speakers. What is he going to speak on, you suppose?
Maybe on business tactics.
I have a big staff.
Guys, is this unbelievable? Have you ever seen anything? And look how many of them, sorry, are women! Yep.
Just a fun fact. BitChute, it's an international YouTube alternative. Two employees. Two people. Two people are changing the world. Two. And they have, It keeps going.
Well, Jared, they have four campuses here. Campuses. Churches are now called campuses, right? Oh, wait a minute. Shoreline in Women's Director. Anybody interested in getting involved in Shoreline Women's Director? You can call her. How about this? Destiny is starting blocks coordinator. Mitzi will re-engage assistant. Caitlin's the director of communication. And Paula is elementary curriculum coordinator.
It's a corporation. It's a business.
Hey, Jared, I want you to go to the top so the people think you are not making this up. I want you to go to the top, and I want you to scroll down so people will understand. This is not just one page. Okay, Jared, scroll down now. This is pages and pages of people.
I wonder if they believe in church potlucks.
So see, here's what it is, right? Four campuses. By the way, that's happening here in the Columbus, Ohio area. We have a church down in Cincinnati that's now just planted a church here in the Columbus area because we don't have enough churches, I guess. And we don't have enough campuses up here.
Those people, and I'm not the only one. I'm speaking for most of the people on this queue. If any of those people have walked in my boots, they would be shaken.
Right.
They don't know what it means to be warriors, Coach. They may know how to pray. I'm not going to say they don't. But they don't understand activism and being a warrior. They have no concept.
That, Randy, that's my point. I'm sure they love Jesus. I'm sure what they do is effective for what they think needs to be done. I'm sure their heart is in the same place. Folks, this is not the local church model. This is not the local church model. Hang on. Say, Coach, why are you beating up on this guy? I'm not beating up on Todd Wagner. God bless him. He's probably a powerful speaker, as we'll hear at Promise Keepers. But what is he doing? Why is abortion still legal wherever they are?
Check out it's an opinionated thought, but the scripture tells us that we are to desire them. And it was pretty unique because I'm just thinking about it because I know exactly where what you're saying and what you're going with us about action. And it says that we are to desire the meat of the word. And I heard that word meat in my spirit 15 minutes ago when you started this. And then I go to John chapter 4 when the disciples come and say, Master, teacher, you have nothing to eat. And Jesus says this key thing. He says, I have meat. He uses the same word. I have meat you know not of. It is to do the will of my Father and to accomplish the work. Brother, it is about the meat to me of the word is about engaging in action. That is the meat of the word. That's where we develop what Randy was just talking about. They've never walked in his boots because they've never entered the battlefield.
So, Jared, see if you can find, I don't know, Jared, I'm just trying. Go to this church again, this Watermark Church. God bless this guy, okay? Is there a mission statement? Listen, do you suppose this church is only about getting people saved and helping them make it through life? Would you think that's a fair thing to say? Probably what? No, stay right there, Jared. Ministries, life stage, care, equipping, serving. I don't see butt kicking. Does anybody see butt kicking on there anywhere?
It's called Mercy Ministries, Coach. No prophetic ministry.
Kicking the devil's butt. Anybody see that on there? Taking back our community. Engaging against the... Anybody see any of that? No.
Defending the gates of hell.
Yeah.
Coach, so yeah. What was... When Jesus says, I've come to do the will of the Father, what is it? That he entered into the work to do what? 1 John chapter 3. To destroy the works of darkness. Brother, it's not a mercy ministry thing. Although he did mercy ministry along the way, his objective in life was to destroy the works of the darkness in the end.
Dale up on the screen right now has their calling. Folks, please understand, I'm not making fun of this particular church. This is where Christianity has gone. And this is what we're going to hear at Promise Keepers, right? Our purpose, here we are, is to call people to be fully devoted followers of Christ. Calling implies both introduction to and engagement in a life of full devotion to Christ as necessary. Boy, that's a good one. That's saying something without saying something. As such, we articulate our devotion in this way. We exist to reach the uncommitted, the unchurched, the de-churched, the dead church, and the unmoved, and to encourage, equip, serve, and sustain those already devoted to Christ. The unchurched are those who have never been exposed to a faithful body of Christ followers, like our four campuses. The de-churched, those who have previously been in church environment, but have left it. That'd be me. The dead church, those involved in a church that is not pursuing biblical Christianity. The unmoved, those nominally involved with Christ or his purposes. So how are we going to do that then? Well, a healthy church intentionally and zealously pursues a balanced ministry. Really, where's the school board ministry? Where's the ministry to the government? Where's the ministry? A balanced one. Such a ministry through the power of the Holy Spirit results in new converts to Christ through the work of the ministry, new commitments to the local body. Oh, yeah. New growth in the grace and knowledge of Christ and new leaders for tomorrow's harvest for Christ. Stated another way, we call others to believe in Christ, belong to his body, be trained in truth, and be strong in ministry. There you are, folks. I would say that's the new promise keepers, or they would not have this guy speaking.
Yet pure and undefiled. I'm sorry, Coach.
No, go ahead. Jared, one more thing. Back to one more time.
Pure and undefiled religion is this, to visit the widow and orphan in their hour of distress. Brother, there's no greater distress than the widow and the orphan killing their babies. No abortion ministry.
We commit to measure our success only by our ability to realize our conviction of being and making disciples. That's it. That's it. Just get them saved, boys. Just get them saved, make them disciples, and get them in one of our four campuses. Disciples are individuals who understand what it means to follow Jesus Christ into a life of worship, fellowship, sacrifice, and service. In summary, we are in the business of changed lives. We live to turn the uncommitted and opposed into unashamedly committed, fully devoted followers of Christ. Everything we do is measured by its usefulness, effectiveness, and contribution toward this purpose. We unashamedly and uncompromisingly strive to be biblically based, fully committed to Christ, fully devoted to Christ, grounded in grace, passionate about prayer, authentic in our walk, committed to the uncommitted, relevant and innovative, committed to community, focused on ministry and services. Take that thing off before I barf.
You know, Dave, if they really believed that he was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, they would be storming a few places.
Roger, they have four campuses. Can you imagine what that church right there could do in their local community? It's not even on their vision wall. They haven't even ever even thought about it.
Hey, Coach?
Yeah.
There's a couple things that I noticed are missing there. How about laying hands on the sick and healing them and casting out devils? Somehow I think that was in the Jesus ministry and in the book of Acts, but I didn't hear it here.
Well, they probably do that when they have guest speakers come in.
How about exposing the unfruitful deeds of darkness?
Yeah, that
go march on the public school systems.
Yeah, no, that's not in there. No, that's not.
You know, it'd be a really thing to do a Google Meet search and see how close the nearest abortion clinic is to one of those campuses.
But let's
be fair. That church is all over America.
That's my point, Roger.
Every major city has churches like this. I'm 60 years old. I would not be welcome there. And whatever I've learned in the last 40 years would be considered passé. There's no ministry to the diversity of the Bible. It's just kind of interesting. They're everywhere. They are. Every city has four or five of these things.
Right. That's right. And by the way, strangling out the small churches.
Oh,
people want to be part of these big things.
Yeah. Hey, Coach. Yeah. Hey, could you get Jared to throw that back up real quick? They had a part where we talked about children. Just because, you know, we're talking about abortion, where it says other positions, children, right there.
We view children not only as a future, but as a significant part. Well, that's nice of them, of the church right now. Our goal is to raise passionate followers of Christ. So we believe our children are worth all the time and energy we can invest in them. Wow.
They have to be born first.
Hey, hang on. There's the word, diversity. See, Jesus said, broad is the way, narrow is the gate Oh, we agree that churches more easily attract others with similar preferences and or life experiences, and therefore acknowledge that simply by being who we are necessarily targeting a certain segment of society. So in other words, we're going to go out and try to get us some black people, and we'll go get us some women, and we'll get us some Asians, and we'll get us some homosexuals, and we desire to foster an atmosphere of unity that communicates warmth and acceptance of all who care to join us. It is our hope that the things that ultimately define us are those that speak to the need to the entire human race, not only specific ethnic or demographic ones. Therefore, we stress such universal concerns as forgiveness, redemption, significance, peace, meaning, and truth above styles, tastes.
Hey, Coach.
We embrace diversity. We do. We embrace it, it says. Oh, my Lord, help us.
Coach, I bet you if you walked in that building, and I'm just spitballing here because I've been in many of these big places, those front rows have marked off reserved.
No, that's so cool. Yep. For Daddy Moneybanks. You sit there in that front row, right?
Yep. This is a picture. This is reflection of our academia world and our nation right here. Go to college, get a degree, and sit at the desk and be a white collar special person, and let all the low lives, the ones that don't want an education, they let them do the dirty work. Let them be the blue collar people. We're above that. This is a picture of that, Coach. These people that live this life, they are excluded from the reality. They're not in the trenches. They can't understand how to be dirty. And this is what we've produced. This is our church system of the last 50 years. This is what it has produced right here.
Give those guys in that church, give them to Rusty Thomas for about a month and see what happens.
You know, Bill Hybels tried this stuff in the church, Willow Creek Church, Sensitive Seeker, Fellowship, Friendship stuff, and it was a total failure by his own admission. And this is the same thing. It tickles the ears. I don't know why they didn't have Olstein up there heading the flock, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, probably charges too much. Hey, Jared, scroll down just a little. I got something else I got to get to. Scroll down just a little bit, Jared. Oh, look. The role of women in the church. Folks, please understand what I'm telling you. The church has no answers. They have no answers. They do not know what to do. Personal holiness, which is good. The church is all about me, meeting my needs. I'm going to go get some others and bring them in and teach them how to get their needs met too. That's basically where we are. Wow. So does it sound like I beat up on Promise Keepers or this guy's church? I don't know this guy. I don't know his church. God bless him. I hope he's doing what the Lord's called him to do. I am. But I'm going to show you something, folks. This is old wine. They're telling us it's new wine, but it's not. It's old wine. It's old wine. 30 years. 30 years.
Dave, all you have to do is look at the culture. Lyndon Johnson, the war on poverty. Did it work? No. It's worse now. The megachurch movement. Did it work? Well, look at the culture. It did not work.
It didn't work. It didn't work. Robert, it's January 10th. Jared, I'm going to do Robert's, and then I'm going to read mine to figure out. So, Robert, you come on in January 10th. January 10th. Oh, Lord. Give us some leaders. Open some doors, Lord.
Yeah, if they should have had people like David Platt or Francis Chan. They want some pastor out there doing something.
And should have had Flip Benham and Rusty Thomas.
Exactly.
That's what I think.
Okay, it says, pray and expect. Don't play and neglect. And here's 10 spiritual endowments. There are 10 spiritual endowments offered to born-again Christians that fully equip them to experience heaven on earth. And we're not talking about angel feathers, gold dust, portals of heaven, awakened angels, contemplative prayer, prosperity religion, or quantum spirituality. These 10 true spiritual endowments are the following. The inspired word of God, that's critical. The great and magnificent promises of God, which we have. The armor of God for warfare. The Holy Spirit of God for power. The name of Jesus. Authority over evil principalities and powers. Wow. The grace of God. A new holy calling, holiness. A new identity and nature. New creatures in Christ, a new destiny. These are fundamental 10 endowments we have, and we don't have to go reinvent the Bible and come up with some scheme like you're just laid out. It's crazy.
Amen. Well, it's like Gary just said, he tried to share the truth of what we do, and you're talking to a wall, weren't you, Gary? Just talking to a wall. They don't get it. They don't get it. So this all came together when I wrote my commentary yesterday, and I didn't get a chance to share it yesterday, and I think it's worth sharing because some of you didn't read it. It's okay. I mean, that's okay. I don't read everything, but I think it's worth saying. All right. What are we teaching our sons? Or dare I say it, what are we teaching their fathers? I have a lot to say, but this is not the time to say it. I'll save the details for another day. Stop reading right now if you think Jesus was a softie. This is the time to vent, to air it out, to let some steam off, to release the pressure valve. Sometimes I feel like my head is about to explode, and this happens to be one of those times. Americans have become so sissified. Everyone's afraid to hurt someone's feelings. It is the wussification of the culture run amok. Real men scare people. I grew up with straight talkers as my role models. John Wayne types were the manly examples that the entertainment industry pumped into our home. I have fond memories of sitting around the black and white Philco with my parents as a family watched real men gallop into our living room. Roy Rogers, Chuck Connors, Paladin, Hoss Cartwright, Lone Ranger. They all left a masculine odor in my nostrils each night as I saw the logs in the bed that I shared with my older brother. And early the next morning, we hit the yard running. We played cowboys and Indians, scalping redskins by morning and morphed into Vic Morrow's combat. We killed krauts all afternoon. We lived out in the yard what we watched on TV the night before. Pardon me for being so politically incorrect, but killing krauts and scalping engines was a wonderful life for a young man to live. Today, you can't even use the name Indian. At least I wasn't forced to play with Ken dolls and dance with Barney. The only Barney I knew was the lovable weenie on Andy Griffith. He was an endearing character because even my young eyes could see that he was a sissy man who wished he was a real man. Somehow I wanted to help him grow some hair on his chest. But look at what we have on TV today. The steady stream of sissy boys with puffy hair being offered to our impressionable young boys as American idols. Instead of Gunsmoke and Matt Dillon, we get Dancing with the Stars and Chaz Bono. Is it any wonder we have gender confusion in America? We've allowed young men in this nation to be emasculated by women. No offense to women. I love them. I married one. I have two daughters and a stable of granddaughters. They are the joy of my life, my women, our women. But they're women. They think like women. They act like women. They like cooking and shopping and cake boss. They get emotional. They cry easily. They hold grudges. They wear lace and makeup. But I don't want my grandson acting like them. I want him to kill bugs, shoot varmints, pee in the creek. I want him to open doors for women, to protect and defend his sisters, to learn to handle a gun in order to protect his family. Our posterity understands that the father is the head of the house and that his job is to guide, guard, and govern those God has entrusted to him. So let me ask you, is that what they're teaching in your child's school? Is that what they're teaching in your church? Is that what the young people are learning in your church's youth group? Does your church have a gun-free zone sign on the door? Probably put there by a woman or a pastor or a pastor who acts like a woman. Look at your child's elementary school. How many men do you see working with those kids? My grandpa taught me how to spit. A boy does that on the playground today, he probably gets medicated. A woman can't teach a boy how to be a man. Only a man can do that. Do you want your son to be taught to be nice or to be a man? Do you remember the Daniel Boone theme song? Daniel Boone was a man. Yes, a big man. Remember that? Well, Daniel Boone and his cohort, Davy Crockett, have been replaced by Beavis and Butthead. Had a meeting today that sent me over the top. Spoke like a man. I called a spade. I called sin, sin. I gave them a double-barreled approach to truth. They deserved the tongue-lashing that they got. But needless to say, it wasn't well-received. I was too harsh, too judgmental, too direct, too self-assured. It was just that too much. It was just too much for the bossy women and wimpy men that we all encounter every day. America, both men and women, no longer want to be spoken to by a man. They're afraid of men, real men. Instead of Clint Eastwood, they want to hear from Dr. Drew. I read somewhere that one of the first things Muslim children are taught in some of their schools around the Middle East is how to kill and dissect young animals. It teaches them to get over their natural revulsion to blood. In America, we're teaching our young boys how to get in touch with their feelings, how to recycle paper, and how to speak without offending anybody. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and they perceived that these were unlearned and ignorant men, by the way, that's what the left would say about Christians, right? Unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled. And they took knowledge of them. And they recognized these guys had been with Jesus. Christian men must rise up and model biblical manhood for their children. The culture is feeding our young men tolerance. What they need more than anything is testosterone. Testosterone is a good thing. The righteous are as bold as lions. It's time to man up. Now, I don't know how. How do we get back to those days? You know, I got so many emails yesterday when I wrote, after I wrote this, from people who said, yes, yes, that's how I grew up. Yes, I got an email from a woman who told me she was one of 15 children who lived in a three-bedroom house with one bathroom. And they made it through, and it was tough, and it was hard, and they made it through. Boy, we've lost a lot, haven't we? In our struggle to gain so much, a wise man cannot afford to lose what he, oh my, dare not lose what you cannot keep. And oh man, help me wrap it up here. Come on, man. Rise up, O men of God. I've done with lesser things. Sorry I beat up on the promise keepers today. Can't teach what you can't, what you haven't done. Somebody, help me up. Got a minute.
Coach. I'm sorry. You said exactly what needs to be said. We need men to stand up and be men. We need women to stand up and be women and stand next to men.
We need men who don't act like women. Our pulpits are full of men who act like women.
Yeah, amen. I'll jump in here and help you wrap it up. You said what's it take to get back to where we were. Listen, I am as happy as everybody that we're not going to war and this thing ended. But, you know, we immediately saw the freak out of the college students. Listen, we're not going to get back to where we were or unless
something massive happens to this nation and this country that's going to pull these sissy men out of these colleges, and the enrollments decrease and they start closing. These factories are the problem. So as happy as I am that we're not going to war, all of these sissy men are just going to continue being produced out of these factories, these college factories, making them who they are. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I say let's pray for a financial collapse and every one of those colleges close down. God bless you, man. We got to raise up godly men again. We'll see you tomorrow. If no, I won't. I'll see you on Monday. God bless you.